Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel lesson for today is the famous Beatitudes. Blessed are they. This is one of those passages of the Bible that when you ask people, what's your favorite passage of the Bible? They will say, the Beatitudes. And you say, oh yeah? Which one of the Beatitudes is your favorite one? And they're like, So anyway, the Beatitudes are famous, but they are also very unknown and very misunderstood. What is Jesus doing here? First of all, he's speaking about the blessed children of the kingdom of heaven. And he's dealing with two questions about these children of heaven. Number one, who are they? And number two, how are they blessed of God? And so, let's just go through them. Our Lord begins teaching his disciples what it means to be a disciple. And he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? Poor in spirit means I got nothing here. All right? That's it. To be poor in spirit means to have no personal spiritual resources. You got nothing. Or as we sing in the song, Rock of Ages, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Or as we sing in the old hymn, Just as I am, just as I am, without one plea. You see, that's what it means to be poor in spirit. It means not only that you are that, but that you know that you are that. See, the opposite of this is this. The person who approaches God and religion thinking that they have something to offer God, that there's something about them that is worthy of God's attention. It may be a subtle thought, or it may be a crass thought, but the poor in spirit do not think of themselves as having something to offer God. Whereas those who are not poor in spirit, they always think that there's something about me that deserves God's attention. That is not poverty of spirit. The poor in spirit knows that any good that I have comes as a gift from the Lord. And that's what it means to be poor in spirit. I got nothing here. And to them, God says, everything is yours. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And that means, even though you have done nothing to earn it, you are a part of and a member in the kingdom of heaven, because what you lacked, Jesus has more than supplied to you and for you. The second one. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, we understand this on a number of levels. First of all, we understand this because every one of us has in our lives, we have mourned. We have lost loved ones and we sorrow in our hearts. And on one level, what Jesus is saying is, for the Christian, there is good news in the end. Because everyone who sheds tears now will be comforted eternally and securely in the kingdom of glory. But to mourn means more than this. That's the most obvious thing. But to mourn is also the realization of our sin causes us to sorrow over our own sin and weakness. And not only that, as we live as Christian people in the midst of an increasingly un-Christian world, we look at the way that the world is going and our hearts are filled with sorrow, with alarm, and with mourning for the condition of the world, for the unbelief in others' hearts. And so the Christian, the blessed child of God, is one who now, in this life, we mourn. We mourn over the fallenness of this world and the sorrows we must bear. We mourn over our sins and weaknesses, and we mourn over the declining condition of our world. But the Bible says here, they shall be comforted. And they are comforted with the fact that no sorrow goes unvanquished, and no sin goes uncovered. And though the world pass away, yet the kingdom of heaven abides forever. And the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of comfort and relief. God shall wipe away tears from their eyes. Number three, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who are meek are opposed to those who are assertive and self-confident. You see, this goes along with the first beatitude about thinking that you have something to offer God. Or a religion or a philosophy that makes you feel that you must be assertive and self-confident in your dealings with other people makes you more and more liable to not be properly responsive to God and to others. But to be meek or lowly is the proper response to your situation spiritually, and it's connected to being poor in spirit. All right, and so the meek are described as those who shall inherit the earth. Because we think that it's the powerful, it's the assertive, it's the self-confident go-getters. They're the ones who inherit everything. They're the ones who win the prize. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. You've ever heard that? Right? The truth of the matter is, he who dies in Christ wins. He who dies in Christ wins. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise, Jesus said to one of the biggest losers of all times. The world mocked and despised him and killed him, but Jesus promised him eternal life in paradise. So they shall inherit the earth. That means that the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. That means that when everything else in this world has passed away, the Christians, the lowly, the poor in spirit, they with Christ shall remain. We move on. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So who are the blessed children of God? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now listen, you can only hunger and thirst for righteousness when you sense that you don't have it. All right? When you're full of something, you don't desire it, you simply make use of it. But when you hunger and thirst after it, you know that this is not something that is yours inherently. And such people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they are contrasted with the people who Jesus often calls the righteous. These are the people who are totally convinced that they are already righteous. The Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees were of this kind. They completely believed that because they were scrupulously observant of the rules and regulations of Judaism, that therefore they were righteous. And the term sinner did not apply to them. So when Jesus came to them, offering them salvation and life, it was offensive to them because it implied that they didn't already have these things by means of their own personal righteousness. There's nothing that blocks you from flourishing in the things of God than to think that you already possess all things because you've earned them by your works. And so those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are opposed to those who think that they are righteous. These people know, they have no pretenses about their own righteousness. They hunger and thirst for it. And the Lord promises them, they shall be filled. Forgive my sins, Lord, to which Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Receive a sinner like me, O Lord, be merciful to me. The Lord says, this man went down to his house justified. You see, that's what it means to hunger and thirst for righteousness, the righteousness which is provided to such people through Jesus Christ. His righteousness, the righteousness of the pure, holy, and just one, is imputed to the believer in Christ. So we are filled with righteousness because righteousness is not something we earn. It is a gift that we receive. Alright. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. There's nothing that moves a person to be merciful to others than when they themselves have received mercy. You know, people who never come to terms with the fact that they are what they are because God has had mercy on them, people who have never thought that way. And by the way, there are loads of these people today. Loads of people. They think that somehow God is somebody that we voted for. You know? God, we voted for him and we can vote for somebody else if he doesn't do what we want. You know? Listen. When you know that you are what you are and you have the hope that you hope because of God's mercy in Christ, that is what moves you to be merciful, patient, kind, forgiving, magnanimous, loving, and patient with other people. Right? Opposed to this, we have people who are demanding, condemnatory, and exacting. Right? That is the opposite. You know, and people think that's the way you got to be in this world. You got to be tough. You know, he who hesitates is lost. You got to grab hold of that brass ring, and you got to run with the ball, and you got to shoot for victory. Now, in some ways, there is truth to that. But the fact of the matter is, with the powers that we have at our disposal in our human flesh, we are not going to obtain any victory. Only victory that exists for anyone is the victory of mercy received and mercy passed on. So blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. When you stand before God on the day of judgment, you will be welcomed into the kingdom of glory. And it will not be because you've earned it, not because you've impressed God, but because He is merciful in Christ. All right, we're coming around the third corner here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, what does that mean? It means those who are single-minded in their worship of the Lord. That is, they are not eclectic. You know, modern spirituality is eclectic. You know what eclectic means? All right. Eclectic means you pick a little of this, you pick a little of that. It's like going to a smorgasbord. It's like going to a buffet. You know, I'll take a little rice, I'll take a little sushi, I'll take a little mugu gai pan, you know, and you pick and choose what you like from a vast array. That's called eclectic. And there are lots of people, you know, there's lots of people, well, you know, I like this about Christianity. I like Christmas, you know. I like Christmas about Christmas, so I'll latch on to that. That's kind of fun, and Christmas hymns and all that. But, you know, I got to keep myself limber, so I'm going to sign up for yoga classes, you know. And I'm going to do that, you know, even though it's pagan. I'm going to do that, and then, you know, a little bit of Buddhism here, a little bit of positive thinking here, and pretty soon I have a kind of a bits and pieces religion. And just because I adhere to a little bit of Christianity, I may convince myself that I'm a Christian, but really what I am is a pagan. Right? What I am is a pagan. Because I do not have singleness of heart when it comes to faith. I'm always looking over into somebody else's garden and saying, oh, that looks lovely. I think I'll have some of that. Alright? No. The Christian knows. He is pure in heart. He knows that there is one salvation, one redemption, one hope, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and that is all in the Christian faith. It is all in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so to be pure in heart means to be single-mindedly faithful to the Word of God in Christ. And it says, such people shall see God. You know, people who buy into modern eclectic spirituality, in the end, they know nothing about God, and they never will see God except as a wrathful judge. But those who are pure in heart, that is, those who are single-mindedly faithful in the gospel, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What does it mean to be a peacemaker? First of all, to be a peacemaker means that you are a teacher of or a supporter of the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to peace with God. So to be a peacemaker means that you are in support of the ministry of the Word of God. And through that ministry of the gospel in the world, sinners are brought into the kingdom of peace forever and ever. But to be a peacemaker doesn't only mean to support the ministry of the Word. It means to seek to apply the Word of God to every question and to seek to win the doubter, the fence sitter, the opponent, and to seek to win them through the proclamation of the Word of God. Now, what the so-called peacemakers of the modern age do, the ecumenical people, you know, what they want to do is they say, listen, we all have to learn to agree to disagree, all right? You Catholics, you have your quirky stuff, and you Lutherans, you have your quirky stuff. And you Baptists, don't even get me started, right? Right? And if we're going to have unity, what we have to do is recognize we can never agree on everything. So what we're going to do is we're going to agree to disagree, and we're going to join together in touchy-feely kumbaya happiness. And we're going to forget about all these religious devotions. And everybody goes, that sounds like a good idea. Right? And so everybody gives it a try. They give it a try. And guess what? Guess what you find out when you buy into that kind of religious junk? You find out that in order to get along with each other in your new happy clappy church, you can't talk about anything specifically. You got to keep your mouth shut, because every time you say something, you're saying something that somebody disagrees with, and now you're betraying the unity of the church. So what happens is, in order to achieve this unity of happiness, we have to bury all of our differences under the rug. And every time you let one of those differences pop up, everybody gets mad at you because you're not being one of the brethren. You're not contributing to the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Listen, the only Christian unity that can exist is unity in the Word of God. And any unity that doesn't arise from mutual confession of the truth, I don't want any part of it. And neither should you. All right? Well, anyway, beat that one to death. But a peacemaker is a person, not a person who lets go of God's word and buys into this other way of dealing with things, but the one who confesses the truth, endeavors to share it with others, but will not be subsumed by a counterfeit peace. And they shall be called the sons of God. And the last thing. Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is... See, what we like to think, especially in America, what we like to think is, blessed are they who are well liked by the godless. Blessed are they who have friends in powerful places. Blessed are they who are praised despite your religious quirks, right? So that many people, even Christian people, they make it their aim to be loved and praised by the world. And the fact of the matter is, if you are seeking that, you will always bury your faith under the ground. You will hide it so you don't have to show it, because you know that if you show what you believe, The people who once loved you will begin to distrust you. They will begin to dislike you. They will no longer praise you. They will find fault with you. Jesus says here, he says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, when they persecute you, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So, when you are among those who have stood up for the faith, and you let your faith show in the world, there will be people who speak evil of you, they will think evil of you, and that's what they did to Isaiah the prophet, it's what they did to Jeremiah, what they did to Ezekiel, what they did to Jesus, and what they have done through the church throughout all the ages. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Not that we should be seeking persecution, but we should be seeking faithfulness, and faithfulness will express itself in a confession. And that confession of faith, we must not be surprised when it brings about unpraise and unliking. Alright, to confess the gospel invites persecution by the world. But it says you shouldn't worry about that, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Or as Jesus says here, your reward is great in heaven, so you should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So, let's wrap this up. Jesus is dealing with the question, who are the blessed children of God? And how is it that God blesses them? And he blesses us with the kingdom of heaven, with eternal comfort, with the inheritance of the kingdom of glory, satisfied righteousness, mercy obtained, the vision of God, being called the sons of God, and once again, the kingdom of heaven belonging to them. That is the blessing of God that comes upon every believer in Christ. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.